T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, am I supposed to start talking? I got off to a slow start. You could call me the Bills defense. This is the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. Bills lose their second straight, 24-14 at the hands of the Falcons. I got to tell y'all tonight, I don't have it. I don't have it in me tonight. I really don't. I'm not going to be yelly, screamy guy. I'm not going to be overly emotional about this. I've been in this building since 9 a.m. and I had three teams in three different sports pulverize me. Maybe I am going to be yelly, screamy guy. I had three teams pulverize me into the dirt today.
Oh, yeah, you did have the Blue Jays too.
Yeah.
That's a tough day. That's a tough afternoon. That's a tough one.
And it started with the Sabres.
Yeah, that's a tough afternoon right there.
Oh, my God.
You get up early. It's a Monday. But you're like, ooh, but I've got three sporting events to watch. Law of numbers tells me one of you should win. Nope. They're all blown out, actually.
Today is proof that, well, now I have to say yesterday is proof that that shouldn't be a national holiday. Put everyone back to work.
Get everyone back to work.
Put everyone back to work.
Open the schools. Get everyone back
Get everyone back to work.
That's tough.
I forgot how easy traffic was this morning, and I'm like, oh, that's right. People have off. No, get rid of it. Get rid of the holiday. We don't need it anymore. We clearly have been proven that that is a fallacy. We should be back to work on that Monday. I don't Indigenous People Day, Columbus Day. I don't care what you call it. Get back to work.
That
sucked.
That was a pretty disheartening loss. I said the same thing for the Sabres. For the Bills, though, it's different because I think tonight, and it's even with all the injuries, that's even with some other extenuating circumstances, Atlanta coming off a bye, what have you, tonight just proved absolutely nothing has changed from last season. Any issue you had with the Bills last year is probably the exact same issue this year. They can't get off the field on third downs, in crucial third downs. They're a little bit better than last year. That's not totally fair. They're a little bit better, but they can't stop the run. Their pass defense when going up against the number one receiver is abysmal. The only really positive sign from the defense,
Deion Walker's cool.
You nailed the Deion Walker pick in the fourth round. He's been great, but that defense was cut through, a hot knife through butter. There was no issues there. And Atlanta, if I'm a Falcons fan, look, I'm thrilled. They won, and they're starting to put together some wins. The 30-0 loss to Carolina is in the rearview mirror, baby. Here we go. You should have absolutely buried the Bills. And to be fair, you're probably a Drake London stepping out of bounds at the one-yard line to end the first half away from really burying the Bills.
Which, by the way, thanks, Taylor Rapp, for making me almost absolutely defecate my trousers.
But then you go over to the offense, and It's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse as the weeks go by. Your high point is the fourth quarter against Baltimore, where it looked like you could go up against anybody. When they just take the reins off, they can let it loose and they can fly. And they look like an F1 car. And every week since, it has been, ooh, they don't look great. This doesn't look right. Oh, but they put up 30 points. Now it's, this doesn't look great. Oh, they only put up 20. Ooh, now this really does not look good. Oh, they only put up 14. The defense, for all the grief we're going to give them, and we're going to give it to them probably for the next 2 weeks because they look broken.
Yep.
The defense in the second half gave you multiple chances, though, for how bad they were.
For how bad they were.
They gave you multiple chances to get back in that game.
That second half, the defense gave you everything they had. They were battered, beaten to hell, and they gave you everything that they could.
And your offense looked at you and went, I have no idea what a blitz is, man. Don't throw me back out there.
They surrendered 3 points in the second half.
And that's at the game really to more ice it. I mean, for the most part, it was a scoreless second half, and the Bills' offense just looks completely lifeless out there. Allen has not played a good game in a few weeks here.
Right.
He has looked very off passing the ball. I think he picked up an injury tonight as well, his left hand. He was kind of messing around with it a lot. Palmer goes down early from what looked to be a hip drop tackle. I mean, just flat out. But he goes down early with an ankle injury, and apparently that means your passing game goes right into the void. Keon Coleman, who you picked in the second round, is not a man beater. He's not a number one receiver. You can't rely on him to do much. Khalil Shakir against a backup nickel. He only gets 5 targets, 3 catches for 33 yards. You'd have assumed he would have been a major factor in their passing game tonight with that matchup. He wasn't. And the offensive line, for as great as they were last year in the pass protection, you would have truly thought that group of five guys had never seen a blitz before. Atlanta just kept sending the hounds, and the Bills had no idea what to do. No idea what to do. And in part, it's because their guys can't get open fast enough.
And
against man coverage, they have no idea what to do. They look like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl last year.
And it looks like something you mentioned in the start, the same problems they have last year or this year. And one of those problems is the wide receivers, when they have to face man defenses, they don't get open.
They can't.
And I know that this is not the spot to do it, but I'm also going to take a shot at the Sabres here. I wanted a break from having to talk about the wide receiver room or to talk about the struggling defense. They couldn't even give me that either. No. They made a 2-goal game look like hell itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's an overall, like, really demoralizing day. And
put
something
everyone back to work. Nobody ever needs to be off of work on whatever.
Like, I'll say you're getting alarmingly close to saying, like, no one needs to take days off of work. Everyone stay in the office.
It stinks that it was renamed Indigenous Peoples Day for it to now suck for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's bad for them.
I just...
good that the name was changed. Christopher Columbus only found this place on accident. Just like how the Bills defense sometimes gets stops on accident.
Stops on accident, right? I mean, a block punt happens once every like 15 years. But I guess for me with the Bills and why it's disheartening, kind of the same vein of the Sabres, but we'll stick with the Bills tonight. Why it's so disheartening, they'll probably make a trade. They had the last 2 years around this period when they had clear needs. They made a move. They're going into the bye. It's the perfect time to do it. It doesn't matter. The root problems are still there. This is not, at 100%, this is probably still not a very talented team. I'm excited to see what Michael Hoyt does when he's back from suspension. I want to see what Max Harrison does as their first-round pick. But overall, top to bottom, this is not a particularly talented roster, and the problems are beginning to show. You're not getting that jump from Spencer Brown and Osiris Torrance you thought you'd get on the offensive line. Your running back room outside of James Cook is pretty much a non-factor. Your receiver room. Again, it's a shame Palmer got hurt. It looked like he was actually maybe going to be in for a big game here.
Yep.
But he hasn't really done much all year. Coleman, I already mentioned, is a second-round pick. Nothing. Kincaid at least somewhat is coming along.
Kincaid being out for this game, they seemed like they were missing half their offense.
But then your defense. And this is really where it is, because you've spent so many resources, both draft and free agency, so many resources, is just not nearly doing enough. It feels like an eternity ago when we thought Joey Bosa was a game-breaker. Now all the issues with the run defense are out there for him. He's not really been the elite pass rusher. The linebacker group, which we thought might be a really deep and talented group this year, their backups are better. Shaq Thompson and Dorian Williams are a better duo than we've seen Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano be. Your secondary, Christian Benford has taken a wide step back. He picked up an injury tonight that's not entirely this evening, but most of this year, he has taken a wide step back. The safety they trusted in Taylor Rapp looks lost every night out there. Every game, he looks lost.
He is.
They are not a talented team. And so it'd be great if they traded for Chris Olave. And to be fair, I'll have the dopamine hit. I'll probably be really excited if I see that trade go down. But then pretty quickly afterwards, I'll sit there and go, yep, so this is just their Amari Cooper move from last year. And when they go up against a team who can score points, the offense has to be perfect. Or let's say they add a corner and the secondary gets better. Great. They can't score consistently enough. This is a team that has to will themselves a time through their all-world quarterback to hit that 30-point margin. And a lot of times it also takes a ton of takeaways and that they're not getting right now.
It is. Yeah, that's the thing. That's always been a constant for this team. All of a sudden that well's dried up. And you are not reaping the benefits now because it's dried up. Because it is something that it's supposed to be fluctuating every year. And with the Bills' defense, it seemingly never has.
No, they've been able to stay pretty consistent in that area.
Welcome to the other side of this blade. It's two sides of the blade. It's just now it's cutting you. And they've been like this with their defensive identity for a long time. And it's catching up to you. And look, I will say my positive thing about the defense. Deion Walker and Ed Oliver, and to a lesser extent Jordan Phillips, had a tough job tonight. There were three healthy defensive tackles after Daquan Jones picks up a calf injury in warmups. You were supposed to have your four ready to go for tonight, and then all of a sudden four becomes three. So for those guys, it's a lot of snaps.
And Deion Walker looked great.
Deion Walker.
All night.
Four tackles for loss. Ed Oliver picks up two. And a sack.
Walker also had a pass deflection at the line of scrimmage.
He did. Ed Oliver gets a sack. Another QB hit. They were good tonight. The two of them were, I'll say, quite frankly, fantastic for what they had to do, which was you're playing almost every snap.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough assignment. It really is. For D tackles, absolutely. You like having a rotation so you can keep guys fresh. And once again, Ed Oliver is my pass rusher, really, on this entire defense. Four quarterback hits tonight. One of them's by Andreessen.
Yeah.
Bosa gets one. Javon Solomon gets one, as well as a sack. AJ's got nothing. Rousseau has one tackle again. The players that got these contract extensions have been bad.
Literally outside of Cook. Outside of Cook, they are 3 for 4 on extensions missing. Cook is the lone exception. And to be fair, they'll still take him off the field. Inexplicable times. You paid him $48 million. I know some people don't like it because of the usage stuff and they want to be fresh. No. You paid a running back a second contract. He's got to be out there. He's your best skill position player outside of Josh Allen. And when the running game isn't going, the offense looks like a mess.
They look lost.
He needs to be out there constantly.
And unlike last week, he averages 5.1 yards per touch, a lot better than he did against New England. New England really shut them down last week in the run game. Today, the Falcons just blitzed their way to happiness. Blitzed their way to bliss, so to say. And I just, it's a frustrating day, especially for that offensive line, especially for Allen. And while I've got that here, we'll go eye on the quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We'll keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Zach Allen, 15 of 26, 180 yards. Two touchdowns, two interceptions, four sacks.
He has not looked particularly good for a few weeks here. Not saying he's a main issue, but he has not been very he has not been his MVP self, I think is a way to put it. A lot of that, though, I think falls on the line of no one's getting open. However, it feels like he's pressing. And he had a few moments tonight. The broadcast even panned over him when he sat on the sideline. He was getting frustrated. You do wonder if there's a point. Look, the everyone eats thing is fun when it's working. When it's not, it looks awful. And I think really what we're finding out with the Bills is it's a house of cards, this offense. Yeah. Any piece is taken out, it all falls apart. All of it. Josh Palmer, Dalton Kincaid are out. Not an offensive, like not an NFL offensive unit. With an MVP, future Hall of Fame quarterback, they put up 14 points.
And
they couldn't do anything in the second half outside of the first drive of the second half. They also scored on the first drive of the game for themselves, so that kind of tells you a lot there that they're really just, they came out fast and that was it. They yep. shot all their bullets. And then last week, same thing against New England. They couldn't get the run game going, and it all fell away. They got a lot out of Dalton Kincaid. His first 100-yard game.
Last week, only Kincaid was really working.
And it kind of didn't matter. It's a house of cards. They don't have a guy that can beat man coverage outside of Kincaid. But then even then, when the running game wasn't working, it was a problem. Here, the running game's working, but they can't get anyone open down the field outside of the one Palmer play, in which, I'll be perfectly honest, Allen doesn't throw the best deep ball in the world. That's a touchdown. It should be. He throws a better right. deep ball. But Allen's never been a particularly good deep ball thrower. He's had a few outlier years.
He's got the strong arm, but it's a low percentage play for him.
Yeah, it's a very low percentage play. It's, you know, I know there's going to be a lot of people that say it, and I don't necessarily disagree. This feels eerily similar to last year, losing to Baltimore-Houston back-to-back. I said this earlier, though, on Twitter. I find this to be worse because of what we said earlier. The same issues are still there. The exact same issues. The defense can't stop the run. They're worse in the secondary. And on offense, sure, they can run the ball against teams that aren't really good at stopping the run, but their passing game really disappears at times. And it becomes – last year, when Shakir got hurt, they had no passing game. They had none. This year's Palmer, Kincaid go down, they have no passing game.
It's just one of these things where it's this – the definition of insanity popping up right now. And the other problem is that this has been going on for a month now. You're 4-2. You're starting to trend in a direction of fraudulence because your four wins are against a one-win Baltimore team, winless Jets, one-win Miami, one-win Saints. And in three of those games, you looked particularly unimpressive in one way or another. Baltimore, you needed a frantic comeback. Miami, you needed a late interception. New Orleans, and both Miami and New Orleans, you needed a punter to get absolutely walloped. And now, all of a sudden, you play teams that have more than one win on their resume, and you look lost. A couple weeks ago, I felt weird about it. Like, wanting to criticize them, but not want to go too far into it because of the fact that, you know, they were unbeaten.
They were 4-0, yes.
And we had seen, like, the likes of Green Bay lose to Cleveland, and... you know.
Well, even now, you see the Eagles.
The Eagles dropping. It looked like, okay, fine. Like when the Bills go to 4-0, there were six undefeated teams. It dropped to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Chargers had lost to the Giants. It was this whole cavalcade of messes. So it felt weird. But at the same time, it's sticking with a lot of people for 2 weeks at the time. Then you lose against New England. Now it's 3 weeks that you don't look good. And then you lose tonight, and it's 4 games where you don't look good for a whole month, heading into the bye week. All good faith that you started up with, winning maybe game of the year in week 1 against a Ravens team that finally limited an offense to, like, less than 18 points. And they still lost. it's turning into, should I give you a medal? Because you don't even know where to start anymore with criticizing them. Who are the root of the problems? Today on WGR at 6 a.m., it's another Buffalo Bills Football Tuesday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will break the game down with you in the morning at 6 a.m., then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon, Shelton Bulldog at 3 p.m. Buffalo Bills Football Tuesday all day today on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. I think I've done enough. I've said enough right now. I think it's time to let other people say some things. As we get connected with our fans, it's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Curtis, you waited patiently. Welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got? Curtis. Curtis going three times. All right, we'll see if you can get back onto that.
Oh, that's a shame.
All right, we'll go to Eddie in Daytona. Eddie, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got for us?
Hey, guys, if you can just keep me through so I can hear your comments.
Yeah.
I had made the comment, but I got it a little bit too late because now it's been discussed, but about how I thought, you know, they missed Dalton Kincaid a lot tonight. And I don't want to get into their defense, which is atrocious. I mean, I don't want to get into the glaring things that are just point blank obvious. But the two things I want to discuss, and I know that somebody might say, well, it didn't hurt them in either circumstance because they didn't give up points. But there were two decisions. When you're playing that horribly, decision making, you know, you have to make the right decisions in what you're doing. And I, like I said, it didn't cost them, but it's just something that they got within inches of it costing them. With the guy stepping out of bounds there, what was the situation that set that up? God, I had it. No, I'm drawing.
Are you talking about McDermott punting the ball?
There was two. There was two things that happened.
Allen throws the pick
just
before that play where he steps out of bounds.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
Eddie, I didn't mean to cut anything off.
No. But yeah, and the other one was on fourth and two, and I don't want to blame Josh, but I thought that Josh was really feeling the heat from, you know, that he was really getting rushed. And looking back on that play, he had time to just set his footing on that fourth and two and just throw a pass overhand. He didn't need to pitch the ball in that way.
Yeah, it's 100% right.
You know, like I said, I hate blaming Josh because, you know, Josh, for the most part, you know, he hasn't played well in a couple of weeks. But, you know, they have so many glaring issues that, you know, things are just bad. But like I said, doing things like that, because they could have been down by three scores. They were within an inch of being down by 21, you know, and they just got lucky that the guy stepped out. And like I said, and then I think Rousseau blocked the kick on the fourth and two.
Yep.
Yeah, or the field goal, I'm sorry, yeah. And I believe that's when he blocked it. And he got, really, Rousseau didn't have to do much to block that kick either.
Eddie,
was so low that, I mean, I think it would have went off his helmet.
Eddie, I appreciate the call, man. And there's a lot that you said. There's a lot to get to here. I also think if the kicker went any further toward Rousseau's
arm, it looked like
hit,
he was going to miss,
he was gonna miss
right?
that
yeah.
kick. It looked like it was getting dangerously close to, like, we were going to get a doink.
The Allen fourth and two, though, play, it looked like he rushed it. There was a lot of frustrating moments. I think that was one of them where I think he ends up slamming the helmet down on the sidelines. It's either that or
flip.
I think the miss to Elijah Moore, which is a miscommunication. But it's unnecessary. A lot of it, too, we haven't seen that in a little while, but that's like the bad, not sugar-eyed Josh Allen, but that's the quote-unquote Josh Allen experience from a few years ago where there would be moments where you're like, oh, that's, you know, if it works, it's magic. If it doesn't, it sucks. I think he mentioned that about the Elijah Moore play. But it was unneeded. He could have just absolutely just thrown a normal pass, it would have been fine. I thought where Eddie initially was going, and we can dive into that or we can take another call, but the punting on fourth down in the first half by McDermott, I thought was incredibly cowardly.
And also uncharacteristic of him.
Uncharacteristic, but I'm not going to lie. When that happened, I thought, oh, he's punting on this game. He doesn't think they can win tonight. So he's just, let's get out of here. Let's try to stay as healthy as possible. Let's get out of here. That's how I felt about it at the time. I thought it was ridiculous. And it went from cowardly to very quickly moronic with how that was developing. But I thought that play almost got lost tonight because of how bad they played the rest of the game.
Yeah.
That it ultimately didn't really come back to bite them. It wasn't a reason they lost. But that was a play that I was just like, what are you doing punting here? It felt unbelievably short-sighted and cowardly to me.
And the London play that goes out of bounds kind of, and I hate referencing this game, but it kind of reminds you of 13 seconds. They had 10 seconds, no timeouts left. They get a quick pass out of bounds. Then there's 7 seconds, and they almost house it.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor Rapp does just enough to get them out of bounds after taking what I thought was a poor angle that created the horrific situation in the first place. But also, you left Drake London uncovered.
Yeah. Yep.
It baffles my mind what happened tonight in terms of scheme, in terms of tackling, again, being an issue on this team, and, of course, in terms of offensive identity. It seems like the Bills, as of late, don't know what they want to be. And that's getting to be an interesting scenario. Here's the good news, though. You ready for the good news? I've got questions about every team in the AFC. Every one of them. Every one of them is like, hang on. How good are you really? And the Bills fall right into this pile of how good are you really? As of right now, not good at all based on your last two games. But you have 4 wins. You're in the playoff field, which is better than I can say about Kansas City, I guess.
I'm starting to see some teams like I think at this point with Indianapolis, you can just look at them and go, "Yep, like they're good. They're good this year." Kansas City's getting healthier. They're getting better. They concern me. And then you have to look at New England. You do. You've now lost them, and now they are at the top of the AFC East. And they have a quarterback who is playing at a top five level right now in Drake May.
Yeah.
And your defense can't stop a bloody nose. And it'll probably get a little bit better with some of these guys returning. I just don't know how much better.
And that's going to be the real problem on that. But I wanted to bring up the other teams that I could say we were brewing around the league, brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of the Buffalo football tailgates. 803-0550 is the number. Everyone that's on hold, stay there. I think I've run out of words, so I honestly probably need a couple of you here to help get us through the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show here on WGR.
Fakes the handoff, rolls right, throws to Davis, down to the 10, the 5, dives for the pylon, and he's in! A 17-yard catch and run for Ray Davis! His first touchdown of the season, and the Bills are back in the game.
I'm dead inside. I forgot who that was.
It was Ray Davis' touchdown.
Yeah.
Ray Davis sighting.
I wasn't paying
attention. It was huge.
I'm not going to lie to you.
It was their first drive for the second half. It was great.
I'm that disheartened I didn't listen to the highlight.
I did. It's a good highlight. Good for Ray Davis to, like...
That is legitimately
good for Ray Davis. Because he's had such a hard start to the year. I saw people talking about... And this is more on Twitter. This is less on the station, but on Twitter. People mentioning, like, he lost weight, and that was maybe a big issue for him. So, I think it's, like, the only thing he did all day. Good for him. Like, that's great, because he's had a really hard start to the year.
By the way, this is the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you. Tanner Saunders on the board with us as well as the Bills fall to 4-2 and 5th in the AFC, 2nd in the AFC East. Vibes down all around. Not great, Bob.
as the video, as the movie reference would say.
TV show, it's Mad Men. Come on.
Tells you that I never saw it.
It's a great show.
But either way, not great, Bob.
Pete Campbell.
Yeah. Look, I'm an uncultured swine, okay?
Sorry, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Don't forget to be listening every Bills game day during Countdown to Kickoff for Tailgate Trivia presented by TSE Buffalo. You could win a Buffalo Bills autographed merch item courtesy of Total Sports Enterprises Buffalo. I promised I'd get to some more of you, mostly because I think I've just run out of gas today. And also so that we can keep getting connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Vinny. Welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got for us, man?
Well, it's about McDermott. When are they going to realize he isn't a true NFL head coach?
Vinny, I wish I had answers.
You look back, the first playoff, he blamed the secondary, got rid of the secondary. A few players in the secondary and a secondary coach. Second one, special teams. Third, Frazier didn't want anything to do with it. That's why he resigned. And this year, he claimed he needed all this defense. Bosa, two free agents on the defensive line. The entire draft, except for Prather, went to defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they look horrible.
Vinny, I appreciate the call, and I know the coach is going to wear this. I don't think he's alone. This is also on the general manager.
No, and that's the thing. I'm not going to disagree with Vinny. I think every NFL head coach, good or bad, runs their course. I think for many fans, they've hit that point with McDermott, that they may like him. But and this is a regular season loss.
Yeah.
He's not going to get fired after a week 6 loss going into the bye. That's not going to happen. But I can understand fans just being done, just being tired. We were talking about it a little bit before we jumped on.
For the inevitable.
Yeah, waiting for the inevitable of just like, okay, yep, all right, there it is. This sucks. You know, what are we going to remember the era for? You hope there's a Super Bowl win in there. But like Ravens fans have a Super Bowl win with John Harbaugh, and they're about done. And now he's been there for almost, I think, 18 years. It's very close to that. But with McDermott, yeah, I think a lot of people are at that point. I'm not going to fight people on that. I understand it. Even if you look at the historical precedent, both Harbaugh and McDermott have passed the threshold in which a coach...
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Quarterback combo, win the Super Bowl. It has always happened within those first 5 years. It hasn't happened.
I'm more or less going to still be on, if he's going to wear this, he cannot be alone at this point.
And that's my thing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting to a point where he can't wear it alone. Yes, he should be wearing it. He's the head coach. They haven't gotten to the Super Bowl.
And the defense typically is what falls short.
And the defense, which is his background, is what falters typically when it matters most in the postseason. However, I look at this Buffalo Bills team right now, and Vinny, you mention it. The coach brings up that you need a defensive talent, and they look worse this year. That's because a lot of the additions are not up to snuff. That is not his job.
That's on the general manager. And so if McDermott's going to wear it, he should share it. Fair or unfair for McDermott, but I think very fair when it comes to the general manager. I don't want to sound vindictive when I say this next part. But I see the general manager on this, that, and the other national show after a certain rant, taking a victory lap on dunking on a certain take about wide receivers. And now we are seeing in the October portion of the schedule again, the receivers can't get open against man coverage. The receivers cannot get themselves open in critical plays. It takes one injury for everything to fall to shambles. And probably needing to make another trade at the deadline for a wide receiver again. Cool.
I mean, and it's
my. And I don't want to sound petty and vindictive. It didn't happen to me. I wasn't even here that day.
No.
But cool. It's blowing up in your face.
It's not even necessarily totally the wide receivers for me. That's going to be always the main part, and it's because of his appearance with Jeremy and Joe and all mm-hmm. that, and I get that. It's an overall talent issue.
Yeah.
They've had to draft a lot of defense. They put a lot of resources into the defense.
That's mentioned in that.
And they've gotten no star players. Bean has drafted one Pro Bowler since 2019, James Cook. And we've mentioned it. Three of the four extensions he's handed out this offseason have been huge whiffs.
There were five. Shakir is also in there.
That's right. James Cook is the last one. Four of the five
are not.
Have at least not been hits. Three of the five have been huge whiffs. And the three of them are on the defense.
All on the defensive side of the football.
Bernard looks lost in coverage at middle linebacker. Rousseau continues to be a hit and miss. Kind of don't know what you're going to get with him. There will be splash plays. There will also be games on end where he is just a non-factor. And then you go to Benford. Maybe the only surefire thing of those guys that you signed.
Nope.
He looks unathletic. He looks like he can't compete out there with some of the better receivers in the National Football League. And tonight, I would have liked to have seen him go up against Drake London more. I mean, that's where you can put it on coaching, that they really kind of botched that. But he gets hurt. So we didn't even really get to see a full game even remotely of Benford. But he hasn't been good all year. And this continues. Kyrie Elam looks like one of the worst corners in football.
Yep.
On Dallas, he looks terrible. And then TJ Sanders, I know he's on IR, he got hurt, but up to this point, he has looked not even in the same stratosphere as Deion Walker. The Bills players were saying it early in training camp. Who's popped? Deion Walker's name would always come early, and then TJ Sanders' name would follow. You mean the guy you traded up for in the second round? Look, and to be fair, Deion Walker doesn't pick up his injury. He's probably not available for the Bills even in the third round,
right.
Even in the second round. With his talent, you're seeing it on display.
He might be the guy they trade for.
Right. But even still, you traded up to go get TJ Sanders. It can't be a redshirt year for him, talent-wise. He got hurt, so we're not going to see that. But for 2 weeks leading up to it, we were all talking about a healthy and active because Larry Ogunjobi is going to be coming back.
Yeah, it just...
And Landon Jackson, is he a real person?
Once again...
Do we know for sure he's on the team?
There's no Warren Bossing say.
That's your first three picks. I didn't even mention Max Harrison. That poor guy, he's hurt. We have no idea. But even before the IR designations for TJ Sanders, two, if not all three, of your first three picks, complete wastes, at least for this year. And it's always a Super Bowl window for you.
I was going to say, I'm not going to say complete wastes. I do like that you added the extra context of it's probably this year that they might be. I just look at the extensions. Benford has not looked good compared to his usual self. Bernard, he gets hurt in this game, but he has also been a little bit rougher around the edges for this season. Rousseau has as many tackles as Khalil Shakir tonight.
Oof.
Yeah. It just, those defensive extensions, the defensive picks, and it's mentioned in that rant. The defense let us down, and I wanted to do everything I could to
to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I get that there's injuries, but you added a lot of players.
And I don't really know how much this changes. I like Michael Hoyt. I'm excited to see what he can do. He's not a world beater. There's a reason the Rams didn't sign him back.
Yep. Go to Jim in Buffalo. Jim, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got for us?
Hi, gentlemen. My comments were about Sean McDermott's decision to punt.
Mm-hmm.
And some gentleman touched on that earlier. But I was wondering, since he covered that, one other thing is why was Sean McDermott wearing ladies' glasses tonight?
I don't know if it was ladies' glasses. He was wearing glasses. I don't know.
Come on, man. Don't got to do that.
He's wearing glasses, though. I thought they were stylish. Glasses. The shame was, for 2 weeks in a row, the Bills do anything stylish, and they get blown out. So,
yeah.
Maybe that's why he's going to retire the glasses, although I did like them.
I mean, hey, man, you need to be able to see. That's an important thing, not just in football, but in life. So. All right, well, we'll take a timeout, come back, and hear from glasses wearer, head coach Sean McDermott, on the other side here on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, both is home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, here on WGR.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
Don't forget that in about 5 hours here on WGR, it's a Buffalo Bills Football Tuesday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will break the game down in the morning at 6 a.m. Then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon. One Bills Live follows it up with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker. Shope and Bulldog take over at 3 p.m. right here on a Buffalo Bills Football Tuesday. All day today on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Don't forget also you can make sure, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest ends January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. We go to the locker room. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. We hear from head coach Sean McDermott following the 24-14 loss.
Not the result we were looking for. I thought the guys played hard, in particular in the second half, fought through some injuries, guys stepping up. Injuries are not an excuse. There's no such thing as moral victories. But I did think that they battled down to the end right there, which I appreciate. Not good enough. Not good enough in the first half. Allowing them to be a two-dimensional offense when they hit us on some long runs, and then the receiver comes open, and so we've got I thought we did a good job making adjustments at halftime on the defensive side and limiting them in the second half and giving our offense some opportunities. Just not enough overall as a team. Special teams blocking the kick I thought was big for us, obviously. I thought we had some momentum coming out of that. And then we have the third and short situation there with the ball on the ground. We got to be better there. So overall, opportunities just not good enough in getting the result that we want. We'll work hard at it. We got to figure it out. It's not going to be easy, but we got to figure it out, work our tails off to get it done.
Sean, the defense struggled in the first half, much better second half than your offense. That's the surprise. Everyone just expects your offense to score, and it just was not happening. Can you tell us what was going on there?
Well, I thought, you know, in the first half, you look back at it, I think James had seven carries roughly. So getting him into a rhythm, staying in a two-dimensional offense against a good pass-rushing defense, we knew that was going to be important. We were off schedule quite a bit, and that can't happen against a defense like that. Second half, I thought we found a rhythm in that first drive in particular, but then after that, you know, again we were shooting ourselves in the foot there. So we got to be better.
To that point, you know, I think three possessions, you get the ball with a chance to tie the game, and you just, you know, two of those went three and out. You didn't move the ball hardly at all. I mean, how surprising was it even for you? Because, I mean, we're used to seeing this offense open down the field, and it just wasn't happening.
No, it wasn't, and we got to figure it out. We got to dive deep into what we're doing, how we're doing it, making sure we got the right people in the right positions, and then the execution at the end of the day. So, but we got to start from ground zero and work our way back up.
When the defense put you, I mean, to Sal's point, they played better in the second half, but you give up 335 yards in the first half. You're almost putting them in a position where they got to play a perfect game in the second half. How do you avoid those slow starts defensively in the first half in particular?
Yeah, you know, it comes down to run defense, run fundamentals. You know, they had some long runs. We had eight-man front call, defensive, you know, fronts, defensive schemes called to stop the run. And when they pop a run, when somebody's out of their gap, you know, A, we got to be able to make a tackle and put a defensive net on it, a secondary net. We call it a DB net. And then secondly, we shouldn't be out of our gaps to begin with, and we got to play better run defense, because that opens up then the pass. When you commit to the run, here comes the pass, right? So just overall a better start, and you know, but it's never one position. And I thought the guys did a better job in the second half. I think they had 335 in the first half, to your point, 443 total, so about 110 yards total in the second half. And we knew it was their run in five at halftime, and thought we did a better job handling five in the second half. So you know, we made some good adjustments, but at the end of the day, not enough.
That was head coach Sean McDermott from the locker room again, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Thank you to everyone that called in. Thank you to Tanner Saunders on the board, making sure we get things done throughout here. Thank you to Zach Jones, my co-host. I'm Derek Kramer. This has been the Transit Town Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. 5 hours from now, Jeremy and Joe take over on a Buffalo Football Tuesday. Again, the Bills losing to the Falcons 24-14 on Monday Night Football. Everyone, try to have yourself a good night. Try to get to sleep. Honestly, you deserve it.
If you're injured at work,
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.